Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
We're about to jump into some local politics and maybe a little Orioles. The Orioles hat is on top of San Giordano's hat, so we might have to go there for a minute as well. But we're going to take a brief break and check on Baltimore Metro traffic for those who live in the area here. Remind you to join in on this conversation. Please hit steinershow@gmail.com. Write to us or join us here at 410-319-8888. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner.
And Anthony McCarthy.
And I remind you on the way back into this conversation that I've got to figure out which underwriter to read here, because I love my underwriters.
That's right.
They're important. I really do. And they've supported this program, and it's meant a great deal to me. Support for the Mark Steiner Show comes from the Maryland State Education Association. The Maryland Dream Act makes sure kids who graduated from a Maryland high school and whose parents have paid taxes for at least 3 years can pay in-state tuition. Some people think investing in education for our kids benefits our state, our economy, and young people who will get a shot at achieving those dreams. On November 6th, no matter how you feel about this referendum, please vote. Voters get to determine what happens for some students seeking higher education. It's important to vote. More information about ballot question 4 can be found at educatingmarylandkids.org. And, well, I'll say the other one later. Because I want to remind people. Well, actually, you know,
that's
I should right. say it right now.
That's right.
Because we're getting ready to jump into this.
Mm-hmm.
That will be the topic tomorrow night. We want to encourage you to join us for the League of Women Voters debate taking place here at Morgan State University's campus tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And the League will be holding a public forum on moderating on the DREAM Act and the Marriage Equality Act. Those are ballot questions 4 and 6. It's tomorrow night, Tuesday, October 9th, at the Morgan State University Student Union from 7 to 9 p.m. It's open to the public. We're taping. It'll be on the air on Wednesday night. So join us, have your say, and everybody can hear it the next night. But please join us for a great live discussion there. We are joined in studio for another great live discussion right now. Hassan Giordano, writer for the Baltimore Independent Examiner, has broken yet another story. The man just must have a cot and live in City Hall.
He is on it.
He's here in the studio with us, along with Dr. John Bullock, who is assistant professor of political science at Towson University, who also ran for city council in the 9th District.
Yes.
The last election, along with there were a lot of good candidates. Mm. All combined beat the man we're talking about now.
Indeed.
And it's true. It is true. So let's talk about what you found out here and what this revelation you discovered.
Well, Mark, you know, it's interesting because once I got to it, I realized that though Cameo Walker, 44-year-old legislative assistant staffer to Councilman Pete Welch from the 9th District, had filed these complaints weeks ago, people at City Hall knew this.
What kind of complaints are we talking about?
Sexual harassment complaint, I'm sorry. And so that was the issue, was even some news outlets were reportedly had information and let it go as if it was not a big deal. And so I followed up on it and talked to some people inside, including Ms. Walker, very briefly, and then realized that this complaint was filed about 3 weeks ago. And it is a sexual harassment complaint that's supposed to have text messages, emails, and other things that go along with it. We filed a Freedom of Information Act request to the HR department, as well as City Solicitor George Nielsen. And George Nielsen did respond on Friday to have those documents ready for us as soon as possible. So we'll be able to reveal more. But right now, what it seems as though is that he made some inappropriate and lewd conducts and comments to this young lady. And it's been documented. And the sad part is that the insiders I talked to at City Hall, staffers and alike, say this isn't nothing new, that this is the Pete Welch that we've known since he's been a staffer for his mother, who was the councilwoman before him, Agnes Welch. So he's been down there for quite a long time. And again, this is only what we're just giving what's there. We're not pointing any fingers. He's not guilty as of yet. These are just charges that are being lodged against him. And so more will be revealed in the Examiner and hopefully on these airwaves as soon as we get more detailed information.
Well, in this kind of situation, Anthony, let me ask you this question because you may know as well. You can please jump in, Hassan. So if something like this happens, doesn't it go before an ethics commission? Is this something that happens? In the, how does this work?
Well, it depended on how the complaint was filed. And what Hassan has revealed is that she made a complaint to the Human Resources Office for the city. So it won't go before the ethics committee unless the president of the council or someone on the council or someone makes a formal complaint to the council, and the president will then ask that the ethics committee, well, the president, or really, I hate to throw the mayor in, this is not her investigation, but this ethics committee could take up any complaint that comes before it.
Who's on this ethics committee?
It's recently changed. Is Dana Moore still chairing that?
No. The chair now is, what's the young lady's name? She's been involved in local politics, and it slips my mind. And they can actually take this up on their own. Now, the HR department, from what we know, had a hearing on this. And I don't know, Councilman Welch's entire staff was down there earlier this week. I knew it was a 2:30 meeting. They found out that I knew. I camped out at the HR department. They kind of kicked me out and said, no comment, go to the mayor's office. So I went across the street, saw Ryan O'Doherty, who's the press secretary for the mayor, who basically said, this isn't our issue, even though that is formal because they have no POI or which is basically a communications arm for the HR. So they sent us to there, and they kind of deflected it. So, again, they have been informed, but come to find out the next day that his staff was down there the majority of that day on Thursday. So we're still waiting. Now, if the HR – and a lot of – I've talked to council members who said we're waiting for HR to make a decision. And I think that after that decision is rendered, whether there's credible evidence against him, then the Ethics Commission could bring it up. Also, Jack Young and the council can bring up an investigative hearing before the council,
and that,
before
I
the Judiciary
and
Investigative
about, Mark,
Committee's
yeah.
hearing committee well, before which Councilman from Jim Kraft chairs.
And I mean, the Ethics Commission in Baltimore is Lou Pearson.
Lou Pearson, that's it.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm looking at the website.
They're investigating the mayor's thing with the tickets right now. So
you would know Lou Pearson for her leadership in the League of Women Voters.
Right. Correct, correct. Mm-hmm. And Donna Cobb, Guy Flynn, Peggy Wall, Jennifer Burdick are on the board. So that's I just looked it up on the city website. That's who we're talking about. I mean, this is, you know, these are very serious allegations. I mean, and if they prove to be true, what's the recourse? Does he have to step down while the investigation goes on? No, right?
No.
Honestly, from the investigations I've done, sexual harassment, even if he's found guilty all the way on by the HR department, even if the Ethics Commission says this is lewd behavior, we shouldn't have this, there is no recourse for them to force him to step down. And so he could stay in office even being found guilty. And we've seen this in Anne Arundel County recently where somebody was convicted in court and they really didn't have any recourse in it. And I think that's where we have to really start looking at our charter in Baltimore City and start strengthening those charter amendments and strengthening our charter to focus on things. I mean, two of the ballot questions we say, one of them comes from the state that would – take public office from public officials from the state, and they're permanently banned or withdrawn from office when they are convicted of a crime. So they're trying to strengthen it on a state level. We need to look on a local level and start strengthening our city charter.
Well, listeners, join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. 410-319-8888. One of the questions I was curious about as I read your pieces, and I was thinking about what happened the other week in Baltimore County with Judge Bruce Lambden of the month, where he berated this woman from his bench.
That's right.
Who was physically abused and threatened by her husband, intent on to being her fault. What is wrong with men? Is my question. What is wrong with men? And what is wrong that people are not held accountable, that people think that this is just acceptable behavior, whether it's from the bench admonishing a woman who's clearly terrified to death, or an employee saying things that are inappropriate, hugging people inappropriately. I mean, what is up with our gender?
Well, look, once you
that's what I want to know.
Once you begin to violate the public trust and it's not called out, people investigate, people don't report on it, it becomes a pattern of behavior and it becomes acceptable. And so once that pattern of behavior becomes acceptable, people turn a blind eye to it. People get comfortable with it. And it almost goes for what's expected, unfortunately. And obviously, being in a society where men have wielded power for so long, and especially in positions of power, whether it be a selected official, an appointed official, a teacher, a professor, what have you, when we're in positions of power, we're entrusted and we're paid by the public in many instances to actually value people and actually treat them with respect, but oftentimes it doesn't happen.
And that's become the pattern of behavior for this councilman down in City. I mean, any female you talk to, and it surprised me because I'd never heard that. I've never seen that from the councilman myself. But when this allegation was brought up and I was investigating it, it was just like you said, it was the norm. Oh, that's just Pete. That's just how he is. And it's like, do you accept that type of behavior? And obviously, Cameo Walker, Ms. Walker, did not. And so now, though, the problem is that other news outlets are starting to dig in her background as if it's her fault. And so, Mark, I think that begs to your question is, do we start attacking the women when they actually come forward to make these allegations?
Do.
And that's the problem, because now it's kind of like the stop snitching. You're not going to tell in Baltimore if you see a crime because you're scared of the repercussions.
Or, well, let me add just one very quick thing, and I think Hassan's reporting on this has been brilliant. He's been very reserved where he's needed to be, but he's called people out where he has needed to. But I have to just remind us that Councilman Welsh will have his opportunity and has had opportunity since the allegations went public to explain himself and to defend himself, and he's chosen not to. Now, the problem that I have, Mark, on the broader question that you asked, as someone that's been involved in government and on the flip side, who've had allegations made against them, this will have to play itself out. And I can't wait to hear what the Human Resources Department finds out. And I can't wait to see what his colleagues on the council do, because that is very telling to me. And I know we didn't talk about it, but those in the public realm, all you have to do is Google the new commissioner of police and realize there have been allegations about domestic violence against him. Allegations.
Because
that's why I was very clear about what I said. What is actually being there are allegations being made against Councilman Welsh. And so allegations are just that until they're proven.
Right.
Or until someone like this young lady are willing to go on the record and put their reputation and the situation online. But I want to hear not just what the women on the council have to say, but what the men are saying about the culture at City Hall. And the same thing, Mark, I found it troubling. And I know that you did exhaustive research. I know that Jane Miller did exhaustive research. A lot of people really were not going to let the allegations against the commissioner go undiscussed. But in fact, as you did do research, as we all did research, we realized there is no public document. There was no formal complaints.
Right.
There was nothing against this man other than rumors and innuendo. And so you have to be very careful at how those are discussed and put in the public.
And let me represent my men, because women can easily just allege anything, go right downtown, file one of those restraining orders or anything without no real proof. And see, they can take you before court. And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to get men off, but that's just the culture that we do have today as well.
But to Hassan's earlier point, we're talking about is a complaint that was actually filed.
Right.
And so we would assume, we should probably assume, but there's some evidence involved with that. And so when someone makes a formal complaint, that really needs to be investigated. And the fact that doesn't go investigated speaks a lot. And then we can think about even how women are treated when they have allegations of rape, when they make those charges. What about even our police force? We had that whole debacle years ago about how they're being reported and how people are being questioned, and maybe that's not what you want to report. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a two-way street. We both have to keep our judgment reserved, but at the same time, investigate all avenues.
Right. Exactly. I mean, and that's what has to happen. I just wanted to get on the table because I think Hassan broke a story here that was important for the city to know and to wrestle with. I will say, though, to what you were just saying, Hassan, that the vast majority of times, most of the time, when women file charges, it's usually substantive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that the problem is that we do have this male-dominated culture that controls everything and controls the attitude towards women. And I think that it needs to be dealt with. I mean, I think that you just can't.
I agree.
It can't go on. I mean, and I think that we'll see what happens over the next. Over the next couple weeks and months, as this plays out.
Well, can I ask you something, though, real quick?
Yeah, please.
Because I respect your thoughts and certainly our guests' thoughts on these big issues. But why do you think the other media has decided that they're not going to report on this? They're waiting to get an HR report? Or, I mean, it just seems telling to me. And if you, as Hassan said, you wouldn't have to go very far in City Hall to find people who are willing to talk about this. But it seems like the press has literally just taken their hands off.
Well, and beyond that, other African-American media outlets in this town have saw it and actually said, oh, first we have to make sure that this article is credible, as if I just can throw anything I want out. But then they read verbatim from places like the Baltimore Sun. So it kind of speaks to the issue, like, what, I guess they're credible and I'm not? You know, I'm opening myself up for a lawsuit. I mean, are you kidding me? But, you know, who knows?
Or maybe the other aspect is the fact that, well, maybe, you know, given the past shenanigans, we can look into all that's public information, that maybe people don't care. And maybe they don't report on it.
Well, I mean, I think that you think there's certain TV channels I know that run out there would be on this.
Oh, my goodness.
I know that you think the Sun would pick it up, even if it is your report. that is something that I think that people should
– It's going to have to play itself out. Yeah.
It can have to play itself out. But I think that if the allegations turn out to be true and if this pushes ahead, then I think you will see other media pick it up. I think they will pick it up. They'll be forced to pick it up. If that's the case, I hope that you get the credit that you deserve for the work that you've done, which is why you're on the show, because I think you get out there and you work the streets and you work City Hall and you put things out there and put yourself on a limb and take that back. Don't put yourself on a limb. You go out there and you put stories out there that you've really worked hard to dig out the piece. And so I that's one of the reasons I want to do this today. You deserve your props on this.
Well, 410-319-8888.
Bruce, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Yeah, hi, Bruce. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm wanting to comment on the issue you're talking about now, but also I have to challenge you for something that was said on the previous show. But to a certain extent, all presidents get a certain amount of ridicule that maybe is a little over the top, that isn't really necessary. Because Barack Obama at times is occasionally expressed in an informal way, calling by his first name, doesn't necessarily mean he's being disrespectful.
Okay, well,
Bruce,
turn Bruce down for a minute. Bruce, listen. Don't yell at me on my show. All I was going to tell you was, we're not talking about Barack Obama. We're talking about local politics now, so please come back. So, Bruce, what do you got to say?
A wimp. So don't give me that crap that Barack Obama's picked on.
All right, thanks a lot, Bruce. Bye. All right, so 410-319-8888 is the number here. And I want you to join us here, right to us here, steinershow@gmail.com, on this local politics, on the story about Councilman Welsh. And also, I think there are a lot of other pieces here. There's a bill we're going to be talking about tomorrow that's at the hearing level. It has not been put for a hearing yet, which has to do with police
racial profiling in
racial
the city.
Profiling. Thank mm-hmm. you. And that's interesting that this has had a difficult time getting the council to kind of hear this bill and to get out, get even to get a committee hearing saying we want to have Commissioner Batts get him in here first. Well, it seems to me you want the city to be on record about what we care about. Your thoughts?
Well, clearly, you have situations where elected officials at times may find it convenient to not really deal with an issue, particularly at a sensitive time. I mean, given the Anderson case, given all things that are happening now in the city, some people may think it's a politically inopportune time to do it. Now, a lot of citizens may think this is the perfect time to have this kind of discussion because, again, a lot of this is really being above board. I mean, most cities have things of this nature, and a lot of communities look for this. Again, racial profiling is something that we've been dealing with for generations all across this country, and it doesn't matter whether we're talking about a majority white, a majority black, Hispanic district. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the police force looks like. We know that in many instances, police conduct their work in ways that may need to be improved, and especially may target certain communities. So whether it's New York stop and frisk procedures, even looking at Baltimore City a few years ago with the zero tolerance. Again, these things have played themselves out in ways that have actually have results that have been skewed in terms of the people of color who've actually been affected by these programs and policies.
And I guess I'm a little discouraged, Mark, especially on this issue, and I'll say this very quickly, because it was initially met with a certain level of interest and enthusiasm by the council. And then all of a sudden, not only a hearing was going to be scheduled, then it wasn't going to be scheduled. Members of the council pushing for them not to have this conversation. And they're using things, as just as you said, about the sensitive nature of what's going on. We have a new commissioner. Maybe we should wait. A lot of things. But I would think that this is the kind of issue. But it also goes back to, Mark, a very disengaged citizenry. We are not engaged in what goes on at City Hall. So really, those kind of arbitrary decisions about what we're going to make an issue and what we're going to have a hearing on, really, it doesn't matter because the citizens don't demand.
Well, all of it needs to come out. We asked Bob Chair to come on. Hope he can join us here tomorrow because I think he needs to be part of this conversation. We've asked him to join
us. He's always fair. He's always straight.
Are you serious? I mean, the guy who's defending the officers that blatantly killed Anthony Anderson. I mean, you could just look at it, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's just fair practice. That's what Baltimore City Police do. I mean, how is that fair?
Well, first of all, I wasn't talking about that, but I was talking about Bob Cherry, and his perspective is his perspective. He really does come very clear, come very clean about where he stands on these issues. If he doesn't like something the police are doing, he calls it out. If he does support his officers, and that's 99.9% of the time, you know where he's going to come and you know he's going to defend it. But I'm with you. I find him to be a very fair-minded person. I don't always agree with his position.
Right. But look, right now, October 8th, we have 14 officer-related shootings in this city. The same amount as the entire of last year, right? We have a majority African-American city, but we have a mayor. You work for Mayor Dixon. Do you think this would have ever happened in her administration where she gets an executive order to protect racial profile of Hispanics, but not of her own kind? And I mean, and then you wonder why people are. And then we got a question, okay, that'll keep them in office for 5 years. Do we really want this? We have an African-American dominated city council. Why can't they hold these hearings? I mean, this is proud. It's not like this is just made up pie out of the sky type of stuff. We have real issues and real things that we have to face in this city. Well, and Mark, unfortunately, it seems like these airways are the only ones who are willing to stand up for it.
So let me. And you're a man who wants to be on the city council. So what do you think?
You know, honestly, I'm a fan of transparency. I think it's important for us to be transparent, whether we're talking about the previous case with one of our councilmen or whether we're talking about the issue of police or racial profiling. Get it on the table. I mean, there is no fear if we're transparent. And so if we have a policy or procedure that's very straightforward, that's clear, then that's easier for us to work with rather than sort of obscuring the issue. I think one of the challenges is that we don't take on the tough issues. And so the patterns of behavior, whether it's indiscretions in one's personal life, you know, or in public office, or whether it's even the attitudes and behaviors of some of the people who serve our city, if these things become ensconced, they become acceptable in a certain culture, and they're really hard to break apart. So we have to break apart these cultures that allow things to exist that really shouldn't have any place in our government.
So, you know, I think part of it is that when we talked about what's wrong with this, with government in Baltimore and other places, is that there is a – I don't want to say this with a broad brush because I don't mean about everybody in government, and I really do not. But there is a calcification that takes place. Because there's been a power base, I mean, you know, for such a long time. And in cities that have become predominantly African-American or whatever other group, but let's say predominantly African-American in the case of most cities in America, most major deindustrialized cities in America, there's a calcification of old leadership that is tied to a power structure that doesn't like to get under the earth to kind of unroot what has to be unrooted. I think that's part of the problem that you face. And I think that it's not a question of Democrat or Republican.
Indeed.
It's not a question of being black or white.
I agree.
It's a question of not having – being so tied into a power structure, you won't shake it up. And it has to be shaken up if we're going to have a democracy worth its salt. And I think people are so disenamored of it. They don't come out to vote.
That's because they only care about re-election. Arnold Schwarzenegger went on television the other day and said that's what both parties are worried about. It's not about the parties. That's all they're worried about is re-election. And if you unearth these voters who will then jump up and say the 9th district is not being represented well, let's put a John Bullock in. These power structures know that they've been getting
Michael
in
Johnson,
office.
Michael Johnson, John Bullock, there are many people out there who are running really good.
And plenty. And you know what? Let's talk about term limits. I mean, at some point, we really have to have the conversation and really talk about how we're really going to change this. I know, you know, there's been at least some discussion about this at the council level, but even citywide. But at some point, we have to have new blood. There has to be a transition of leadership. People get complacent. They get calcified, as you said, in office, and they get used to doing things the way they've always done it. But that doesn't always work.
There's no like originality in thinking. There's a piece. We're going to take a break here because we have this year's guest coming in. But I was with somebody yesterday. I'll just tell this quick story. I was with somebody yesterday. Valerie and I went out to this guy's farm, and he does green earth roofs. Okay, so and he hires, he has like 10 employees, 12 employees, makes these green earth roofs. Well, people like Mayor Nutter and other places are putting billions of dollars into baking green roofs. Why? Because it saves money on sewer systems, because it puts people to work, because it creates, it drops the temperature in the summertime. There's all kinds of reasons to do these green roofs. So where is the creative leadership that goes, maybe we should be thinking about doing things like this rather than having a Grand Prix that builds something for our city that remains and builds the city so that people feel like they're part of something.
Well, Councilman Scott just did with the grading. I mean, it's not green, but it's still grading the health department of these restaurants. And he's getting pushback on something that's being done all across the country.
Right. And as a planner, I totally agree. I mean, green and green roofs, we have to really do these kinds of things. They're vacant lots and all of it. We have so much space.
We'll do a longer session after this week on local politics. And we're going to make a habit of bringing back some of our young leaders, some of them are so young, some of them close to my age, but people who have run for office, who've been community activists, whose voices are not heard, to be part of our local roundtables as opposed to the same old, so we can begin to hear what new blood is thinking. One of those pieces of new blood is Dr. John Bullock, who's our guest here, assistant professor of political science at Taos University, who ran in the race against what is now Councilman Welsh and Mike Johnson and other really good people who were in that race who could have done some things to change the city. San Giordano, of course, writer for the Baltimore Independent Examiner, always out there slugging away. Thank you both for being in the studio.
Thank you, guys.
We're taking a brief break, and when we come back from this very brief break, Sonia Sohn's going to join us along with Lamar Darnell Shields to talk about Wake Up Baltimore, which is what we've been talking about a little bit here.
That's right. Wake Up Baltimore.
We'll be right back. Don't go away.